Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, Ruby, thank you for taking an interest and co-founder with my wife, Rhonda.
Oh, well,
don't leave out Rhonda.
Shouts out to Rhonda. Now, first off, Kevin, would you be able to give us a bit of an overview of what your and Rhonda's organisation does?
Well, we mainly help rebuild the burnt fencing after the fires with thousands of volunteers. So currently we've got 27 base camps with volunteers, ranging from, you know, mainly the 55 years and older retired people and the backpackers from Kangaroo Island, Pandana, right up into, well, there's another base in South Australia called Springhead near Lobethal after the Cuddly fires, Cuddly Creek fires, and then in New South Victoria, five base camps there from Buchan to Corion, and because of the fires in the ranges. And then in New South Wales, really, you know, Tumbarumba right up through Cobargo up to Milton and then Warhope and across the Nim border, Running Stream. The fires were everywhere and we seem to have bases everywhere. So every day our volunteers go out and help the farmers rebuild burnt fencing.
Right, of course. And I mean, first of all, good on you. And second of all, it's been about 6 months since the horrific summer fire. So how is the recovery effort going?
Oh, well, it's going very well from our point, our vantage point. We have done, I think we're up to something like 14,000 kilometres of fencing built. I think for the listeners to build 100 metres would be a lot, but when you put 14,000 kilometres there as a comparison, it's just massive. That's what we've done since Black Saturday in 2009 when it all started from our farm at Kilmore East near Melbourne, 70 kilometres north of Melbourne on Hume Highway. We're always wanting more volunteers, but, you know, in the early days we had up to 2,000 volunteers a day spread right throughout. Probably every day now we've got about 300 or 400, which is still quite formidable. And they work 7 days. Well, the camps run 7 days a week. They have volunteers do have a day off, but they're looked after. They're fed and mustered and looked after, and they go out and work shoulder to shoulder with the families who've lost so much fencing. So, and then they come back and they, you know, at the end of the day, and they've got to have a lovely meal and great camaraderie, and often get to bed very early because I don't know if you've done fencing, Ruby, but you do walk a lot. And you get very tired going up and down hills carrying posts and pulling wire through.
Absolutely. It sounds tiring, and I get out of breath walking up the stairs. So it's,
it's very rewarding. You know, physically you get a lot stronger.
Absolutely.
Your legs and your resilience, your heart, you know, your lungs sort of function a lot better because you're walking out there in the, you know, in the bush or on farmlands. And the camaraderie is fabulous for your mental health as well.
Of course.
So, most people have become it's very habit-forming, Blaze. They're very addictive, and most people sort of come back time and time again. But, you know, many of the backpackers, they do their 88 days, and then they stay longer as well because with COVID, you know, they feel safe being at Blaze, because we've got rigid testing for people coming in. They have to go to quarantine after being tested, and we've got all our social distance and hygiene, you know, laws in place, and we have one person who is the runner who goes to the shops to do the shopping, or it's delivered. So, you know, we're very aware that if, you know, COVID broke out in Blaze, we would be in dire straits. So, yeah, we're quite vigilant on that one. But but in the meantime, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. Farmers during COVID still need to get their fences up so they can get their cattle back in. And they're extremely grateful for the help. So Blaze helps with the not only the labour, but also with the equipment, the tools to help build the fence. And we also bring out a lot of posts and wire for the farmers as well, especially the ones who find it very hard to afford the new fencing, because fencing costs up to $10,000 a kilometre. So if you've lost, you know, 20 or 30 kilometres, like a lot of farmers have, do the maths. It's a lot of money.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, speaking of money, from your experience dealing with the people who lost so much in the fires. And from what I've seen in the news, a lot of them are still waiting for financial support from the government. How are they coping over there?
Look, I think the financial support from the government is largely tokenism. A lot of farmers just won't put up with going through all the hoops and hurdles to apply for it.
But
so
fair enough.
criteria to it. You know, BlazeAid helps everyone. We especially help those people who prepare, the ones who do insure and do, put their fire breaks in, who are community involved, who help with the firefighting. As long as they're shoulder to shoulder with the BlazeAiders, we help them pull down the new fence, the old fence that's burnt. You know, if they are insured, then they can get a contract and get some local money into the money into the economy. But I think it's only around about 5 or 10% of farmers, maybe even less than that, who are adequately insured. Because when BlazeAid has a rule that you do insure your home at least, but all the other things on a farm, like the tree plantation that you put in 25 years ago up the driveway, well, you don't insure that. I know on my farm, I've got about 50 or 60 kilometres of fencing. If I was going to insure every post and wire, I think I'd go broke. we do like to have some, farmers have some level of insurance, but look, we can't sort of, point the finger at, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? I mean, everyone's smart in retrospect, but, the fact is that the fires did happen. They were out of control. And we've got to get in there and help people.
And you're doing very, very important work there, and you really are helping people. So finally, how can people help you guys?
Oh, well, the best thing to do is to go onto the BlazeAid website and just have a nosy around and just see how BlazeAid works. I'd certainly follow BlazeAid on Facebook. Go for a search, just BlazeAid. Scroll through and just have a look at the all the posts that have been put up over the years. There's thousands of them, and that'll give you a pretty good idea. The best of all is just Google BlazeAid current bases, have a look through the bases, see if there's one nearby, and if you're not in the current COVID hotspot, ring the coordinator and say, look, how do I volunteer? So we start at 7:30 every morning with a morning safety talk, and then we're out in our teams helping farmers. And look, sometimes we drive 10, 20, 30 kilometres to get to a farm. But the farmers are very gracious. They're very welcoming. They love the BlazeAiders who come along. They become very dear to them. And it's reciprocal. There's many people who've volunteered at BlazeAid who come back time and time again, or write letters or send emails to farms they helped several years ago. And sometimes they, go there to farm sit as well, look after the place, because the volunteers become very trusted amongst the farmers. So it's a really good sort of country, city. I connect, I would think, BlazeAid. And also, BlazeAid does, we don't get much government support at all, very, very little. We like it that way because we like to be independent. But if anyone, wants to, donate to BlazeAid, it's very simple. Just Google BlazeAid donations, and there's a few ways you can do it. And 100% of our donations go towards helping the farmers. We've only got one paid person in BlazeAid, although it's a massive organisation, and that person's paid from the government's GST credits when we buy posts and wire for our farmers. So no donated money goes to admin at all. The formula works well. BlazeAid gets bigger and better. We've got the tree planting program launched today. So we want to plant 1 trillion paddock trees out there. A lot of our paddocks are bare after the fires, so we're wanting to get those in. We're encouraging everyone to support the compulsory home insurance program as well, with local government facilitating that and state government orchestrating it. I don't think that people should have no home after a fire. There are people, it's been between 10 and 40% of people who do not have home insurance, and it's not right that all the donated monies go towards that by other charities. I think it's up to $300-500 million that goes up to replacing homes, and for only $10 a week or two cups of coffee a week, you can have adequate home insurance. So if all that money does go on replacing people's homes that should have been insured in the first place, then we can help more farmers, more people affected with things like mental health, with more fences, more trees. It just all makes sense. So, you know, I'd love people to get on board on those two things as well.
Yeah, awesome. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been really, really great talking to you about yours and Rhonda's organisation and what you guys have been doing for the past 6 months.
Well, and we won the Queen of Orders, the Commonwealth Point of Light, so we must be doing something right. But the award goes to all the hundreds of thousands of volunteers who've helped Blaze Aid and the farmers, the donors, because Rhonda and I, we're just the ones who got it going and keep things ticking along. But it's the volunteers out there right now who are walking the hills, pulling wires. They're the oxygen of Blaze Aid, and may there be more of them. If we each do a little bit, it means such a difference.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Kevin.
Good on you, Ruby. Thanks for taking great interest, and all the best to your listeners.
Our absolute pleasure.